All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE podcast. Tonight is wrestling nostalgia, and it's one that is near and dear to my heart. We go back 20 years, back when WWE was WWF. 9/11 hadn't even happened yet, and we've got one of the biggest pops of Kane's career. I think one of the unsung heroes of the Attitude Era and WWE as a whole. So we are going to get everything going. I'm super excited about this one. Right after this. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the reality era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Boy, oh boy, this is going to be a fun one. I'm really looking forward to this because I don't think that we've really covered Kane on this show. He's mentioned in passing as one of the Attitude Era staples, but we've never really covered Kane in terms of events that I can recall, other than him involved in the first ever Hell in a Cell, which was his debut in 1997. But outside of that, I haven't, unless I'm wrong, we haven't really covered a lot of Kane, and that makes me sad. So I'm going to change that today, tonight, this morning, and I'm going to make sure that we give Kane his due, because this man is worth discussing. And I've got a couple of moments, namely the first one that, the one that we're definitely going to cover, which is the title of the show, which is Kane tombstoning Tori on SmackDown. And, man, just let me say this. Imagine that happening today. Just think about that. Think about today that happening in front of a live audience or otherwise. Imagine the backlash on WWE and how different the world is 20 years later in terms of how people view things and how sensitive people are. And everyone's got a voice and the rise of social media, all of that. We're going to dive into pretty deep into that and cover that moment, which I still love, and I would still love in 2020. And people who think that, oh, you're for domestic violence, you're for man on woman violence, I'm going to address those people as well. So buckle in, this is going to be a fun show. But before we get anything going, I got to give a shout out to Sean Harford. He's a longtime patron and listener of the show, and I just want to give him a shout out because always fun to be able to talk to people that listen to the show, and I'm sure sooner than later we'll have him on and discuss wrestling. So big shout out to Sean. Thank you so much for your patronage, and I know that you chose the top level that we offer, and that's pretty damn cool. So if you'd like to join Sean, you can do that at patreon.com/WWE podcast and get the entire library ad-free. That's pretty damn cool. So those that are just put off by the ads or don't want them and just want to listen and not have to worry about it, patreon.com/WWE podcast. You can join Sean and others as well. So recently, though, too, which I didn't even know we hit was 500 episodes. That was a landmark that, you know, you'd think that as the host and creator of the show, I would have noticed that we did this. But no, I didn't until I looked at Spreaker and I'm like, hey, oh, number of episodes. We just passed 500. So this is number 501. So pretty awesome that this show is gone 500 episodes and 500 more, and then probably 500 more and 500 more. This thing's just getting going. And it's recently gained a lot of traction, and it's because of you guys and my relationships with the Botch guy on YouTube. Big shout out to him as well. Check him out on YouTube, by the way. Awesome, fun guy. We're going to be doing a collaboration again once a pay-per-view hits. It seems to be like a pay-per-view collaboration that we're going to be doing. That seems to be working, so we'll have more information as we get closer to Clash of Champions. But check out the Botch guy on YouTube. Really fun, and you'll be glad that you subscribed. Speaking of YouTube, though, I recently started a quick snippet news flash slash opinion video segment that I've been doing. And I've done, four, five, six of them. I don't know anymore. I feel like I've at least done one a day on just what's going on. Like, for example, Mandy Rose being traded to Monday Night Raw, Retribution, and where the heck they're going. And most recently, I just did the Seth and Dominic steel cage rant that I had. And today, actually, I did a reaction video to what WWE put out as an official statement to what Asuka and Mickey James did on Monday Night Raw in the finish of that match, and had some very, very strong thoughts on that. And I'd encourage you to check it out and subscribe on YouTube. You can just search the WWE podcast on YouTube. You know what the logo looks like. We're pretty easy to find. And check it out. All right. And one last thing here. Let's get to voicemails, because anytime I have voicemail, I don't want to delay. I want to make sure that those people who have taken the time out of their day, whether even it's a minute, 2 minutes, to discuss wrestling or share their thoughts or opinions or questions, I want to make sure that I get you guys right at the top of the show. So let's get to it. This one, you guys have heard him before. It's Curtis Buck, and we've got a rant, I believe. So let's take a listen. This should be fun, and then I'll react.
Hey, Matt. How's it going, man? It's Curtis again. I just wanted to get your thoughts and your opinions today on the whole Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic storyline. Now, for me, it's completely run its course. I am so done with the storyline. It's gotten way too stale for me to even enjoy it anymore, you know? Like, for me, they should have ended it a little after the eye for an eye match, you know, like a couple weeks after that. But it's still going on. It's still brewing up. And I don't know. It's time they got to move on from something else. Seth Rollins needs to go after somebody totally different now. Dominic, maybe he could turn heel on Ray. I don't know. It's a long shot. But I am so fed up with the storyline, Matt. I think you've said in a podcast before. I totally forget, but I think you did. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who can agree that this storyline has just gotten so stale and soft, and it's time to move on. And, you know, I don't know, give Seth Rollins a United States Championship run again, maybe, or something like that. And give Dominic a draft to SmackDown. Like, I heard the drafts are coming up, so maybe Dominic can go to SmackDown. Who knows? But yeah, anyway, Matt, so I just wanted to give you a little rant about the whole storyline. And like I said, I think you said it in a podcast a little bit ago that you're getting tired of it too. So yeah, so anyway, just let me know your thoughts and opinions if you can, Matt. And if you can, that'd be great. Anyway, cheers, dude.
Hey, Curtis. So thanks so much for chiming in. And yeah, the Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio and Dominic storyline, it's almost as if, you know, pay-per-views and weeks go by and you're like, okay, that's got to be it. That's got to be it. And then the next thing you know, they're putting them in a 2-on-1 handicap match, or they're doing a street fight with Murphy, or they're doing now a steel cage match. I think that when they find something, when WWE finds something that works, or especially when it surprises them that it works so well, they beat it into oblivion. I mean, just overkill it. And yeah, they'll say, well, fans are getting tired of it, but at least it's working, right? And I think that's one of these cases where it's just kind of like they know that it's a safe zone. They know that they have good chemistry, or the storyline is exceeding expectations. And yeah, it may outlive its shelf life, and it's still sitting there rotting and molding on the shelf, but hey, it still works, right? Like, that's how WWE views it. It's kind of a safe landing spot that they know they can keep going to. And I'm with you, though. Like, I'm done with the storyline, too. But I think here's what I would tell fans. Here's what I would tell fans that are just totally tired of it, just like Curtis. I would say this. Get to Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell is the finale. It has to be the finale. This program has been going on for, what, 2-3 months now? Since Rey Mysterio was in that tag match and Seth Rollins just destroyed him and jammed his eye into the corner of the steps. That's when it really all started. And to me, the destination, the finish line is Hell in a Cell in a month. So just get through the next 4 weeks. We'll get through Clash and we'll get to Hell in a Cell, which is got to be it. And WWE should promote it as such so that the fans go, okay, as long as we know this is ending, for sure, I'm fine with it going to the Cell. Because to be honest, this is a program I think deserving of the Cell. This is a program deserving of it and should be one-on-one Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins, straight up. And loser leaves Raw. I mean, let's just be that frank about it. Have them brutalize each other and end it there. And that's honestly what I would do, because this is a program that, you know, you got Hell in a Cell next month. I can see where WWE's like, ugh. Well, if we can just hold out another month, this program is deserving of it. And to be honest, that's what the whole point to me of the Cell is a finale, is the blow-off, is a program that's so heated that this is the only place it could end. And yeah, we're tired of it, but if we can all hold out, folks, can we all hold out another month? It remains to be seen, but I'm willing to do it as long as we know this is the finale. I don't want this turning into a Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin fiasco that was way, way, way beyond what it should have gone. And I mean, even Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon, remember that? That just didn't stop. So WWE in recent history has a track record of taking programs to the absolute limit and beyond until fans are just like going, oh my God, this is still going on. I understand this too, that I'm sympathetic to the fact that fans have a shorter attention span than ever. I'm not naive to think that that's not the case. So it's kind of a perfect storm where you find something that works and WWE wants to utilize it. At the same time, you have fans that are super impatient and always want to see new matchups. I shouldn't say always, because that isn't universally true. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's better. If you have a program that's working and it's awesome, keep going. But I see how it's kind of a conundrum with fans having such a short attention span and always wanting a new thing, a new feud, a new program, and their patience for programs and storylines to be shelled out and to take its natural course and have a long payoff is very, very thin. It's very low. Their patience is low. So I understand both sides, but if it ends at the Cell, I think we'll all be happy. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to Kane. The man who is the unsung hero of the Attitude Era had so many great moments that people, I think, either forget about or overlook. And yes, we had Stone Cold Steve Austin in the Attitude Era. We had The Rock. We had Undertaker, Big Show, Mankind, Triple H. Go down the list. It's an all-star roster. And we often, I don't think, really give Kane the credit that is due to him for just the brilliance that he and Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer is also one of the managers that's a once-in-a-lifetime type of manager. Paul Bearer is a guy that, I mean, was such an addition to the characters that he was managing. It was unbelievable. He was the voice of Kane when Kane couldn't speak at one point. He was just brilliant in theatrics. He could sell you on his facials. His voice of the, oh yes, that whole thing was brilliant. I was there again in Madison Square Garden in 2004 at WrestleMania 20 when Undertaker came back for the very first time as the Dead Man since being the American Badass for like 3 years. And the first thing that you heard was Paul Bearer saying, "Oh yes." It sent chills down your spine. It was awesome. And Kane had a similar introduction. And let me set the table here. So we'll get to the tombstone in just a couple of minutes, but I think it's important to set the stage. I think it's important for you guys to understand what's going on, where we're at in 2000. So as I have in my notes here, Sway, don't forget, and I want to pass this on to you guys. So here's the deal. Back in late 1999, early 2000s, we had Kane and X-Pac become a tag team. They were a really good tag team. And Kane had shown some human emotion for the first time in the team. He became romantically involved with Tori. But X-Pac would be the one to low blow Kane. And this was to prove his loyalty to D-Generation X. On top of that, X-Pac revealed that he had secretly been involved with Tori behind Kane's back. Since that happened, Kane was institutionalized and he was absent from WWE programming for quite some time. Nothing like a little absence to make the heart grow fonder. I think that's true in every walk of life, everything that we ever do. People, places, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Always. It's just a rule. So Kane was gone for a while, but would return on the February 7th, 2000 edition of Raw. And this is where DX was competing in a 10-man tag team match that saw, let me see if I can get these competitors right. It was Rikishi, The Rock, Scotty Too Hotty, Grandmaster Sexay, and Mick Foley versus Dean Malenko, Triple H, Perry Saturn, and I can't see the rest of it. But the 10 people in this match, again, 5 heels, 5 baby faces. And let's just listen to this, because this is absolutely brilliant. The lights go out and all hell breaks loose. There we go with SmackDown being plugged right at the end of the show, cut off abruptly. But I was pulling that from YouTube. Sometimes it's a hell of a lot easier to pull it from YouTube, isn't it? Just so much easier. Yeah, I have the network, but then you got to dig through the network. Sometimes it's a pain in the neck. Then you got to find the show. Then you got to find the moment, when YouTube just has it instantly. So what had happened is, and again, while I missed the 5 heels, I want to make sure I get that correct. It was Triple H, Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn, Chris Benoit, and we also had the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn come in with lead pipes, which beat down the babyfaces. And that's when Kane came out. And Kane has had a lot of good returns. I even remember the one back in 2002 against the Un-Americans of Test. And who was it? Lance Storm. And somebody else I can't think of. Christian. And that was a great return of coming back. And everyone's pro-America. you know, everyone is obviously off post 9/11. It's a year after that. And we have people trying to burn the flag in the ring, and Kane comes out and just levels them with this awesome choke slams. And it was great. That's when he first debuted that mask, that with the bottom half of his mask that was kind of missing. Wasn't my favorite mask. I still enjoy the original. But Kane, this to me was his best return ever. If you're looking for the clip, and I highly recommend you look at it and put headphones on, because again, hearing Jim Ross's voice, hearing Jerry the King Lawler's voice brings you back into like a time capsule and reminds you how good wrestling can be. And it's called Kane Returns 2000. That's it. You'll find it. It should be your first top result. And it's really worth listening to and watching, because it is a moment that still gives me goosebumps. It still, 20 years later, it still gives me goosebumps. And, you know, we all took those moments for granted, didn't we? We all took those moments for granted. It was crazy. We took them for granted, and it was just insane that we got these types of matches and moments that happened on a weekly basis. The other thing is, too, Stone Cold had gotten injured. He was out for neck surgery. They were trying to replace him as the close of Raw, and who was going to step up? So Kane, to me, I think, could have had a monster run if he wasn't so outshined by even bigger stars. It's crazy to think that Kane wasn't bigger than he was. If you put a character like that in today, I think that he would instantly be the biggest heel or babyface, whichever he decided, because he was good at both, in the company. You take your pick. Kane was great at both, and the gimmick was great. His size, his look, everything just worked with Kane. Now, it was a different environment back then. Promos weren't as micromanaged. The stars weren't as micromanaged. Of course, a different environment. TV-14, of course, yes, all of that is contributing to Kane's success. But Kane didn't work on blood, guts, and cursing and sex. Kane was just a monster. He was like Frankenstein, a walking Frankenstein that had a mask. How many people wear masks now outside of Rey Mysterio? I'm talking about like non-luchadors. How many? Count them. I can't count them. Okay, you have Lucha House Party. Okay, but I'm talking about people that are like American performers, American wrestlers that wear masks. I think it's something that could be brought back. And maybe a big man wears it. Okay, you have Retribution. They don't really count. But I think it's something that it's so old that it could be new again, where you have somebody come in. He's a big dude. He's wearing a mask. It's not somebody that's secret. That it's not like they're hiding somebody that you already know. It would be a totally new person. Bring them in. Have them wear the mask. That's their gimmick or part of their gimmick. And create the mystery. There's a lot you can do with somebody that's wearing a mask. A lot. A lot you can do. So, again, what's old is new again. And I would absolutely be all for it. But there'll never be another Kane. Never, ever. And I just never felt that Kane got his true run. He was the World Heavyweight Champion for a while in the mid-2000s, and I understand that. And he had a decent run and worked with Undertaker again in the mid-2000s. I get it. And even, no, it was like even late 2000s, 2008, 2009, 2010 even, as Kane was the World Heavyweight Champion. But during his heyday, which was 98 to 2000, 2001 even, I think that WWE never really gave Kane a fair chance. He became WWF champion for one night. One night at King of the Ring when he beat Stone Cold Steve Austin in a First Blood match, albeit from a chair shot from The Undertaker. And I'll never forget that moment. Now you're making me want, I'm talking myself into that moment. All right, well, damn it, now I want to see that moment. It's not really Kane's best moment because he loses, but I can't help myself, so let's listen to it, because the energy on this and the pop on this is absolutely incredible. And then we'll get to Tombstone and Tori, I promise. But I think that you guys are going to want to listen to this as well, and highly recommend you YouTube it. So let's do it.
You're better than he ever was. You're the true WWF champion, Kane.
Kane has been obsessed by topping his brother, The Undertaker.
Oh, no.
Tombstone.
Tombstone.
Off the counter.
and you're going to believe with evil intentions. Oh, there. Whoa! Austin just paid The Undertaker for the King of the Ring.
All right, so I know that wasn't really on point with my topic tonight, but I talked myself into wanting to hear that and watch it. But it is kind of relevant because it was a turning point in Kane's career as he realigned with The Undertaker at that point because they now had a common enemy of Stone Cold Steve Austin after Kane lost. And I was obviously pro Stone Cold, he was my biggest star of all time, still my favorite of all time. And I was torn because I was also a big fan of Kane. Big fan of Kane. Always have been a big fan of Kane, obviously. But I was torn because I was like, wow, they really robbed him of one night. And he never really got a shake after that. It was many, many years until he actually carried the championship for a long period of time. And I just felt like he got shortchanged and was a great soldier about it. But he just never got the run he could have. And, that's why I think people don't remember him as one of the biggest stars, because he never really got that long run as champion. Would that have changed things? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, how can you deny Stone Cold Steve Austin being champion? But, you know, sometimes the babyface being in chase mode is much more entertaining than them being on top. So, all right. Well, nonetheless, I just wanted to share that with you guys.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand-in-hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com, where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
So here we go. This all leads up to the moment that we're here for, and that is Kane tombstoning Torii. Now, again, I'm glad that I shared with you guys the backstory because you understand why Kane is angry. He was betrayed by Torii, which is why you heard Stephanie McMahon telling Torii to get out of there because Kane had been betrayed by X-Pac and Torii. So on SmackDown, not too long after, we got a match and Kane was involved. And, well, let's just get to the damn audio. That's what you're here for. I'm excited for this one, too. This one always gives me goosebumps as well with the reaction from fans and even the commentary. So let's take a listen. And I've got some thoughts on this one as well.
You're the right thing. his former love. He has his former love around the neck, Kane. Forgive and forget, Kane. You gotta turn the other cheek. Yes.
Oh, and Kane let her go.
Yes. Is she human after all?
What a reprieve for Tori. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
He still loves her. He still wants her.
Yeah, the audacity of that was.
He's done.
Wait a minute.
All right, so as I look at the date, it was actually 3 days later. It was that SmackDown after the Raw he returned. So, boy, they didn't wait too long to make this happen, and why not? Strike while the iron's hot. I hope you guys were able to hear that okay. Sometimes the audio isn't the greatest quality, but I did my best, and I'd encourage you, if you want to see it yourself, just search for Kane Tombstone Story. That's, if you didn't know, and you've heard maybe of the nickname Tombstone Tori, which she ended up kind of inheriting over the next few weeks and months, and to this day even, if you say Tombstone Tori, you probably know who you're talking about if you're talking to a wrestling fan that's been watching for quite some time. And it was a great moment, and it really spoke to the times, because back in 2000, it was TV14, the Attitude Era was all hands on deck, no limits to some degree. And having Kane, Tombstone Tori, imagine that today. Now, the only time I can remember over the last time of PG era, which is since 2008, was Randy Orton RKOing Nia Jax in the Rumble 2 years ago. But she kind of deserved it because, number one, she shouldn't have been there. She should have been escorted out by security or the officials. That's a rant I could get on for 20 minutes. But the fact that she was RKO'd made total sense. So that's the only time I can really think of intentionally striking a woman with a finish. And Nia Jax deserved every second of it, and I loved it. And when I feel sad about my life, I'll just watch that because it makes me so happy, because I'm really not a fan of Nia Jax's character, and seeing that makes me smile. But my point is that back in 2000... this is not uncommon. This was commonplace. This was something that violence on women with men on women was fairly common. It wasn't brutal or just unwatchable or uncomfortable. It was when it was deserved. And yeah, Kane did. I know he actually chokeslammed Trish Stratus, I believe, once. I think Stacey Keibler got the stunner. Mae Young got the stunner. Stephanie McMahon got the stunner a couple of times. Linda McMahon got the stunner. Linda McMahon got tombstoned on the stage by Kane. And many other examples. Many of them are funny, to be honest. And it just spoke to the times. And you know what? You had men and women both losing their minds in the crowd. Right? Men and women were cheering this. Nobody was booing this. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody booed this. No one even thought twice about it. You know why? Because back then, 20 years ago, we were able to discern from reality versus fiction. We could determine, well, this is a TV show. This is my real life. And now everything seems to be intermingled, intertwined, where everyone is so sensitive that if an entertainment company, a TV show, a movie sends the wrong message that people don't think is the correct message, that they get canceled. They get blackballed. They get destroyed on social media. Everyone feels like they're a victim. People are taught to feel like they are a victim at times. Like, that's how some people grow up, is they're taught to feel, they're taught to be victims. Some people are, if there could be a degree in getting a degree in victimhood or victimization, some people would have PhDs. And it's a much different society now. especially today's political environment. But my point is that WWE could get away with this in 2000. Imagine Kane coming out, or anybody coming out, and just tombstoning or hitting a finish on a woman today when it's unjustified. My God, you'd have sponsors dropped. You'd have headlines, WWE, man on woman violence promotes domestic violence. What kind of message are they sending? People will be up in arms. And it's just insanity, which is why you don't see a whole lot of retaliation, even when women slap men on WWE programming or try to attack them. The men just kind of cower or stand there or smile. And there's never retaliation because WWE is fearful of true retaliation from their sponsors, which is where they get a lot of their money. The majority of their money, if you look at their financial statements, come from sponsorships and ad revenue from the network. So that I totally understand that they're fearful of. At the same time, the wrestling fan in me is like, this is fantasy, folks. This is fantasy. If your kid is watching wrestling, they should know that this is a simulated sport. It's not real in terms of true competition. The athleticism's real. The injuries are oftentimes real. But the stories, all of it's predetermined. And you just should enjoy the product for what it is. And I don't think we'll ever see something like this come back on WWE's platform anyway. And again, those that are thinking, you're fine with man and woman violence? Come on. Really? You really believe that if somebody enjoys something like that in that instance, that you magnify it to jump to the conclusion that they are pro-domestic violence? I guarantee there's people out there, maybe even people listening to this, that think I'm some misogynistic guy that is for beating women. I can guarantee you, based on today's environment, that there's somebody out there that probably believes that and is not happy with me promoting this particular segment. And first of all, I don't care, okay? I really don't. If you're that sensitive, you probably aren't even listening to this show to this point anyway, but if you still are, congratulations. And there are millions of fans that enjoyed that moment. So are all of those fans suddenly just more woke? Are they more educated now that they go, oh, that's awful. We shouldn't have any of that on our screens. I don't know. So I just wanted to address that piece of it because I'm sure that 20 years later, people, if they saw it now, would go, oh my God, can you imagine that today? That's awful. It was brilliant. It was awesome. There wasn't a person booing in that building because everyone knows what it is. It's entertainment. And it was entertainment at its finest. You get a crowd reaction like that, you're doing your job. You're making money. That's how you know you're making money, is when you get a pop like that. And I know that when you heard it through my mic, that it wasn't really doing it justice. But that's why I'd encourage everybody to go listen and watch this episode. It was the February 10th edition, February 10th, 2000 edition of SmackDown, and the February 7th, 2000 edition of Monday Night Raw, where Kane originally returned. Those are the two clips had you guys listen to. I didn't make you. But anyway, I wanted to address that because I know that it's in today's crazy environment, there's some crazy lunatic out there that's thinking I'm pro-DV, domestic violence, and that's not the case. But wrestling is wrestling, and we all are here because we love it. So I hope you guys enjoyed that because these are moments that as I'm going through YouTube, and that's how I usually prepare for my wrestling nostalgia. I oftentimes don't have a plan going in. Like there are times where I don't know what I'm doing until like a couple hours, an hour, 20 minutes before I go on the air. But these memories are ingrained in me so deeply, and they were such a strong part of my childhood that it's easy to kind of drum up those old feelings of how I felt about the storyline and everything else. And it was just a time of brilliance, of all-star roster, of just edgy programming. It worked. It was cool to be a wrestling fan still. I think it was cool up until like 2003 or so. When in 2004, The Rock kind of went away. Stone Cold retired. Brock Lesnar was on the rise, but he also exited WWE in 2004, in March of 2004. So it wasn't cool up until then, but I mean, it just, again, if you're a wrestling fan like I am, I mean, I'm 35 years old. I have, I've watched since 1997, so I'll do the math on that, but I'm sure many of you out there are like, I've been watching 30 years. Hey, great, cool. Maybe you've been watching 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I hope you just enjoy these podcasts because I want to, and I've had people say to me, like, hey, I wasn't into wrestling or I stopped watching WWE and I caught your podcast somehow and now I'm back into it. And that's great. Like, hey, I encourage everyone, just because it's not the Attitude Era, and it's never going to be the Attitude Era again, doesn't mean that wrestling's still not good. It's a much different product now. Much, much different in terms of just everything. I mean, from micromanaging things to the production to the match styles to the stories, everything is just different as it would be any, you know, if you don't evolve in 20 years, then you're probably not existing in 20 years. So evolution is just a part of life and something that WWE obviously had to do to survive and thrive. So, but I'm glad that I'm being able to get you guys back into wrestling or just entertain you because that's what this is for. That's what this is really for, is for me to vent, therapy, and you guys to listen along. And I know that many of you listen to me at work, or believe it or not, people listen to me to fall asleep. So, whatever, I'm not insulted by that. Listen to me all you'd like. I mean, for whatever purpose you'd like, whether you love me, hate me, use me for entertainment or to sleep, I can't stop you. That's pretty cool. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. This was Wrestling Nostalgia, one of my favorite nights, because it's a time I can just put the current product aside, other than sometimes voicemails or initial thoughts at the beginning of the show, and just dive into the past, dive into what brought us to wrestling, those great moments that usually revolve, yes, around the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era, but that's when I grew up. I mean, I'm not sure when you guys grew up, but usually what happens in your childhood holds a lot of weight, even as you get older, and sometimes more as you get older. So something that's a big part of your life that defines a part of who you are doesn't just go away. It just gets put to the side. And being a wrestling fan in high school, I mean, a lot of people just knew me for liking wrestling. Even to this day, I'm sure there's people that just go, oh, that's right, he's the guy that liked wrestling. I mean, that's just what it is. Anybody that doesn't know you that well, but knows like one piece about you, you're defined by that one piece because they don't know anything else about you. But wrestling just did so many different things for me and in my life, good and bad. Not everything about being a wrestling fan is glorious, but I'm sure many of you can relate to the criticism, especially today. If you're a fan and you come across somebody that's not a wrestling fan and they make fun of you for it, it's just such a lazy attack on wrestling fans. And it's just such a tired old attack on fans of saying the fake stuff and all that. But I don't want to get into the rant on that. I will leave it there. Tomorrow, you should be getting your AEW and NXT shows. Friday, of course, is your WWE Rivalries by Anthony DeMarco, which I've been getting great feedback for. So props to Anthony on doing a great job. And I think he's been doing a great job, too. I mean, he's holding his own for sure. And if you have suggestions on what he should do for Rivalries, send them to me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram at WWE_podcast. You can also send me a voicemail at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And I'll get you on the air like I have the last couple of shows and share some voicemails with you. And then on Saturday is your SmackDown review. Sunday, I promise I'll be back with a co-host. I do have a co-host lined up. It's been a few weeks, like 3 weeks since I've had a co-host on the show, and I've missed it. So it won't be just me. My voice will not just be droning on. You will have other people on the show, or another person at least on the show. So I'm looking forward to that, as I'm sure you guys are. But anyway, follow me on YouTube. Yes, YouTube, at the WWE Podcast on YouTube. Just Google it. Put it in the search bar. I'll come right up. The logo's right there. And I'm trying to do some daily videos. It won't be every day, but right now the goal is at least once every 2 days of doing just rants or news updates or opinions on something going on. It's only a minute or 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops. So it's short, it's sweet, and I'd appreciate your support on there as well. And many of you are like, hey, what does this guy look like? Well, you get to see. For better or worse, you get to see what I look like. So many of you that are curious, hey, pop on YouTube. The production value will be going up. I'll be doing a professional intro, all that kind of stuff. But right now, it's just kind of testing the waters, dipping my toes in and seeing what happens. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. And as always, I'll be talking to you soon. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out. It's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com, where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.